Thanks so much, Olivia, for having me down. That's a fantastic venue. I love coming to work, so I'm happy to be there. I'm going to read just a few poems, but the collection that Ray was saying there is finished, and thankfully it's been taken by a publisher just last week, so I'm pretty looking to it'll be coming out next year. So I'm going to read a selection of poems from that. I'm from Sligo, as is Trevor. So it is a Sligo invasion, I suppose, for evening. And I live in Galway. And so I'll start with a couple of Sligo poems. So this is called Endless. We become adults on roads, on lines, on grids, on greens, on grey spaces you cannot zoom in to see. We become older with the city, a seer, decibels, a scale from stepping dawn to engine rattling dusk, to clicking night and walk back light, shearer's bureau lives and metered hope. We become in spite of what happens, and we are here, still here, coming with care, with listening ears. We become no matter the distortion that hopes to break and confuse our hearts. We become electric, on and off beings flowing again and again, endless in this sudden glittering world of interruptions. So this next poem was published in Stinging Fly, and it is about my 18th birthday party, which was in Sligo, and I guess that was 12 years ago now. So it's called 18. Cocktails, noggins, and joints, our father, welcome town teenagers, thirsty to get wasted on sour grain at a house party in lovely future. Girl from the estate stops our taxi and seizes the sign at the border between the counties. She laughs the whole walk back in the pitch dark of Baltic night, the purse of metal under her arm. A gift to the tall gods from Uncle New York gets broken. New couples kiss, shift hands on ribbon couch under cheap fairy lights. This is our ballroom of romance in the disused garage. This is our hallowed becoming. Lockgill peers up, tired of lewd tunes from burdened hi-fi. This is our kingdom of youth, forgive us our trespass. Parks' castle frowns at us who traipse among darkened bluebells in the forest behind the house. We want to hold and chat up the fairy stones. Let them listen to us, we say, touching their moss. Yeah, those who grow here say, let them hear it. Let them know the shoddy stories caused by spell of their garland lights, our dwelling joints and gin. I didn't see Billy there. Billy edited that poem. Thanks, Billy. I came down to Cork last night, and I went to El Phoenix, bar over that way, and I love Rory Gallagher, I love, you know, Thin Lizzy and Philadelphia and so on. And this next poem, I guess it's an ode to, I played bass guitar for a few years, and Phil Lynette was one of my idols growing up, so it's kind of an ode to him, and it's kind of like a history of bass guitars in my life, but it's called Bass Guitar. My first one, a cheap one bought in Cranmore, was stolen from the trades club by boyos on speed and too much time. Leon saw some of its flesh like shrapnel and rockwood parade, but my second one, the second one, a Phil Lynott black P bass mirror plate to go with leather pants and catcall eyes played magic. The stage lights blow up, splinter flash and racks of young faces. Hearts chambers boom in the ambassador, bass clef springs alive. Lunchtime, it was Saturday in a high-rise block. Partner holds a hammer outside a blocked spare single room. Polish kids play with their new words on the green. The ice cream van comes around, match of the day jingles. The hammer man is having a panic attack. The peener in her ear waits for the bang, cracking the rosewood frets, the maple neck, the alder body. 50s hits, parents' bedroom, and nothing to do summer Saturdays. the household, my sister and me, dancing on imaginary street corners of American diners. Dak's hair and oversized shirts mimic the steel pluck of speaker strings. The doo-wop purity of only you, only have eyes for you, in the still of the night, blue moon, earth angel, the satin in the pits of her stomach. My very first bass guitar was, it was robbed from a venue in Sligo, Trace Club, Trevor. And it was destroyed. I was so devastated. I was like, no! But anyway, so that was that. That's Sligo time. So, I'm not doing a good job, just overriding the Sligo. So I moved to Galway to go to college there, and like a lot of people who moved to Galway, just never left, and sucked in. Let's say you go for a weekend and you never leave. But this is a poem. It was published in New Binary Press, which is a Cork-based publication. In Galway, there's quite a high rate of suicide, and when you're living in the city, I'm sure some people who live here in Cork know the Lee as well. Any city that has a river going through it, you know, unfortunately, you have the beauty of the river and the life all around it, then you have, you know, it's where people end up their lives as well. And so this is a poem just about, unfortunately, in Galway, when students come back, and, you know, this is constant kind of home. Of helicopters, you know, sometimes, which is really disturbing. So it's called Outside the 24 Hour. Outside the 24 Hour, we all heard the shuffling noise first. Look towards outside Sparrow's claims, her phone, pitchfork claim, the scam of despair, our local newsprint state stories so close they rumble and they ignore it. Ex-partner points his fingers up at another person gone with the river. Oh, Friday heart sink, post office desk minds about their business. Turning around, he said it again, tilting his callous ciggy, and moved on to the pub. It is confirmed by a stranger. Yep, it's rescue. We stand looking skyward, circular pattern tracking, tapping the pin with one hand, the other clutching rib. The couple outside spar, passers gawking steps, the rotors babble, cup blades in my purse. Palm hover, cover the pin, screen instruct user. The noise creeps over, next tilted too many times for comfort. And I wanted to turn my head to up, away, to nose the noise as it goes over buildings' tops. As sure as flight paths, as saddening as the river flow. Taking the money from the slot's silver mouth, I snap it in the lock too close to our bones. Rescue for nothing, he says. No, rescue is everything. I always get very nervous that I'm gonna be one of those people who goes over time, and everyone's like, "God damn it, get off the stage!" But so. Oh, okay, great. Okay, in that case. I will move on to this poem here. So up in Sligo, you know, you're quite close to, well, where we grew up, we're very close to the border, kind of the north and so on. And I remember growing up, you know, it was kind of a recurring nightmare that myself and my sister would have, that, you know, that IRA were going to come get us. So, and I think, you know, for a lot of children, kind of, you know, growing up, you know, with TV and media, and they kind of feed you with these, you know, which, there's always this kind of horrible sense that it would, you know, it would flood over into Sligo. But so, I remember just, you know when you're kind of in your house on your own and you still get startled by kind of strange sounds of the night and you don't know why, and you're kind of like, oh, okay. So this poem is called Arms. Arms. I wake up parched with a black hat at my feet and Guinness like glue in my gut. The other mousers pause, stare, creep, a lean shadow behind vines half-drawn in dust. The way that rain pelts down the roof, it's rough. I am too old for this house's strange sounds to cause such alarm. I am too attached to the swoon of strong arms in the night. Black lines, checkpoint breaks, woolen heads, hollow eyes, and guns from TV flood over. Faces so imprecise you cannot see them from the window without light. Only the white, their eyes shine when they get too close. So I unfortunately smoke for my sins, and I'm more of a social smoker, which is something that my doctor hates that I say that. But so this is and I mean, you know, since smoking ban came into Ireland, you know, smoking areas have become these great, like, you know, I guess places just to hang out even if you don't smoke. So this poem is called Smoking Area. This maroon interior is bald due to scissors, strokes, and mahogany wood sanitized too many times. I should know better than pretending to be naive, to talk dropped like beer mats under a round. I go out to smoke for a break, but every toke is a question mark rising as a hot air balloon. I don't usually write very long poems, and it's probably just my attention span can be a bit off sometimes, but so I do try to challenge myself sometimes to kind of, you know, work beyond, I guess, my comfort zone in terms of, you know, go longer than one page. So this is one of those rare occasions where I did go longer than one page. And I work with a lot of American students during the summer, and, you know, they come from all over America, and one particular university that I come from is University in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so I visited Arkansas a few years ago, and it was great, even though everyone's like, "Why did you come to Arkansas?" And I was like, "Well, I have friends here." I guess I was kind of struck when I was there, you know, just kind of chatting to people, that, you know, you think two places are so far away from each other, but then when you get to talk to people, there's so much more similarities than differences in a lot of ways. So this is a poem called Greening, and it was going to be the title of the collection next year, but I changed it, so it's the old title. So, and in Little Rock in Arkansas, there's a Henry David Thoreau kind of engraved kind of plaza area, and one of the quotes in that plaza area is, "The life in us is like the water in the river, and may rise this year higher than man has ever known it, and flood the parched uplands." Cold February, hometown novena comes around again. Students burst home past the cathedral line. The rain starts to come down real hard, and under white flap a trailer is a serendipitous sheltering where it browse thin silver Mother Mary embellished bracelets, medals, and rings. A woman walks a titian blue cardigan like nun's habit turned inside out, drenched to her hair. The holy swag seller, a man devoid of chat, has his hands crossed like the reposed. His hands are a weathered islander's, waxy, tanned, and chubby tips. His hands marked by buried welts from oars and pony strap traps, draw me back to an afternoon in a split house in South Kane Street, Little Rock. Back to the questions of repair, of pining, and of the attached. Back to a belt maker minding the house. Back to the kill heat of an August in Arkansas. The taxi ride from the airport to my host's house in the ghetto. Back to letting myself in and strangers welcome. It was a mutual friend at a Baptist wedding due to return. It was new conversation and the surprise of a person when least expected. It is the belt maker who mentions an important name, his friend deceased, who smiles broadly in several wooden frames. His kindness is phosphine off his tongue, his smile a stacked skyline among Sacred Heart idols. The dead man's wife got many holy tokens over the years from friends, he explains. I tell him about the white trailers that sell bric-a-brac during the novena, little slots filled with beliefs and hopes. Trailers that sell the rest of the year, chips, cans, crisps and burgers, matches, concerts, beaches, the size of roads. I tell him about a Virgin Mary ring that left a wheat green band around the base of my middle finger when I was young. Copper made green out of oxygen and acids. Green made out of summer sports, sweat, washed hands, peas, and rose perfume creams. His drawl, attractive, speaks towards his hand where a knuckle is bumpy from use of a bender's hammer. He tells me more about the passing, brain tumour, 29, and a really good friend. Could I reach out then and rub his hand softly? The dead heat comes in again, so we take his suggestion to sit out on the porch and slant these off the fan. We sit, ankles up on the ledge, punch cans, blue and white statues on our laps. The cicadas click in the trees in South Gain Street. The fan's rotation is a sound of a Toro River flow. This damned Goy rainwater is a jug knocked over the awning's edge. The trombone of the Longview night breaking the night at 3 a.m. in Lit Rock is now a beeping car where I am at home. The belt maker's hands work leather and sand rough edges clean. And as the clouds spill out cold February, a wet for warmth in the seams of love, tug and flood, turning everything green. So this is my last poem, and it is, I guess it's one of the newer ones from this collection here, but so I suppose we've all been to literary festivals or festivals in general, and I suppose Electric Picnic was on over the weekend, so I think hopefully everyone has a sense of coming home from a festival of some sort of sort. And so this is called Home from the Lit Fest. He is the beside me, a rise and fall of hairy ribcage. He is too humble, too loyal to be assigned EUS. Nonetheless, he is my God in this scenario. He does not stir to my arrival, which I am a bruised peach about, all acquired ego from the poets. I am home, love, ready to graft my way out of the talk shop. I want to jab aside with my finger and command an alternative universe for us. Rise and fall to the woman of your dreaming. Instead, he smells like a post-match brewery and I fen. Half-naked sliver of tiredness, touch-screening, white light keys of notepad as it extends and shines upon his face and arms, my face too. A flickering tap, tap, hold down, transform, letter, suggest, auto-complete, flicker, tap, return, tap, return, hold, flicker, lightning, connect, socket, charge, wake up, scoop up my body, become my peering point, beloved. Thank you.